on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? It's another edition of the YokeCast podcast. It's great to have you alongside for this episode as we continue grinding through the winter sports season. And if you haven't noticed, the spring sports are getting underway as well. But we are getting into championship season for winter sports, believe it or not. When you look at next week, we've got track and field indoor championships. We have swimming and diving championships going on. Track and field next week will be in Fargo, while the swimming and diving championships are in Minneapolis this year. So we'll see how things play out, but they start in the middle of next week, and we'll keep an eye on the Summit League championships in both the swimming and diving and, of course, indoor track and field. And before you know it here, golf season going to get underway. The men's golf team opens up its season early next week, and the women's golf team will be on the weekend. So we'll see how the golf teams do. Obviously, they've been trying to prepare as best they can, given not too many opportunities to go outside right now and play some golf, but they're trying to get as much into it as they possibly can. This Saturday at the women's basketball game, by the way, it's the Pink Jersey Auction, and I know you know a little bit about this, but if you don't, it's an opportunity to raise funds for the Dakota Hospital Foundation. The funds that are raised, the proceeds, they'll go to equip Sanford Vermilion's infusion rooms with state-of-the-art recliners so it can promote comfort for patients receiving chemotherapy. It's a great way to support South Dakota and get a piece of that history, but also support Dakota Hospital Foundation. Jerseys number 2, 10, 12, and 32 are being auctioned off. The auctions are live right now. You can get all of that information at goyotes.com/auctions. So goyotes.com/auctions. You can get all of that information on the jerseys, the auctions, all of that. It'll go. The jersey auctions go until about 6:30 on Saturday. So you can check it out right now and see if you want to, be a part of bidding on that. Sometimes families bid on those things, and sometimes other people bid on them. So you got all of them right around that. Some of them are well over $200 the last I checked. Some were under $200, but all of that money goes to help the Dakota Hospital Foundation, which is a great organization that certainly, if that's what you feel pulled to help with, then that's your opportunity to do so. So check it out at goyotes.com/auctions. Crazy to think how close we're getting to championship season for basketball even, right? The basketball season is winding down very, very quickly. When we wrap up this week, we will have 2 weeks left in the regular season for basketball. That is it, and it's going to go by fast. The men's basketball team will be home next week for 2 games. Then they'll get a third one at home on, the 29th or something like that on a Thursday before they finish up the regular season at North Dakota. So should be some really, really good basketball here remaining. And obviously we'll all sort it out to see who's going to play on what days of the Summit League Basketball Tournament, which gets underway on Friday, March 8th. So it is going very, very quickly. And always crazy this time of year as we start closing it down. Coming up in the show today, we had a chance to catch up with Jack Cochran to talk about the Super Bowl championship for the Kansas City Chiefs and his second year in the National Football League. But up first, I had a chance to catch up with Emily Kahn as she begins. Preparation is well and prepared, but getting set to begin the championship event for Summit League swimming and diving. Emily, the season is rapidly closing for you and getting ready for the Summit League championships. It's great to chat with you here and talk about the season. How exciting is it? And maybe a little disappointing the season's coming to an end, but exciting at the same time because the Summit League championships are fast approaching.
Yeah, it's definitely really exciting. We've been working all year for this. We just had a really big training trip in Miami, so it's just kind of exciting because it's all the big culmination of what we've been doing this season, and we just get to see it put at us and just try our best in Minnesota. So really looking forward to it.
you know, swimming and diving is a different season in that it's kind of a split season, if you will, right? Two sections in the same year. How is that to adjust to as you go through the year?
It's definitely pretty difficult. It's really long, like mental challenge for sure, but it's kind of nice because I came from club swimming, which is year round, and this is just you get a focus like August to November, and then essentially November to February, you're just like kind of locked in, and then you get the rest of the year to kind of take a break a little bit.
You mentioned the training trip, and I know the swim team has done that, the different training trips over the last several years, and you mentioned Miami. How fun was that, and do you get a little bit of fun, or is it all business approach?
We get a little bit of fun. There are a couple beach days thrown in there. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's nice change of pace from Vermilion, especially it's in December. Vermilion would be a very cold place to be, and the Florida is nice and warm, so really good change of pace.
So the only difference between Vermilion and Miami is the weather a little bit warmer?
Yeah, pretty much.
You come from Denver, Colorado, and obviously came here as a big part of swimming is a big part of the reason that you came here. What made you choose the University of South Dakota?
Definitely the swimming. I also really like all the academic programs that were available here. But it was really just like the swimming and the coaches that initially drew me in here, and the people have kind of and let me stay and find it really more fun.
Was it always swimming for you? How'd you get involved in being a swimmer?
Yeah, it was always swimming for me. My mom likes to say that I learned how to swim so I could jump off the diving board and kind of be better than my brother. I never really played any other sports. I tried cross country and softball, but those were never really my thing. So kind of just stuck it out with swimming.
You mentioned club swimming, too. You're constantly involved in that. Did you always think that maybe there was a route to go to college through swimming, or when did that become a reality for you?
Definitely not. I like to say I probably would have quit swimming, but I liked the 50 free, so I kind of just kept doing it. And then I switched club teams when I was a junior in high school, and then that was really more like swimming focused and kind of let me it showed me that there's a lot of like different routes that I can take, and college was one of the ways that I could get there.
There's so many different events when it comes to swimming. How do you find your niche on what's going to work for you? And is it your choice, or is it mostly directed by coaches along the way?
A lot of the time it's directed by coaches. I got pretty lucky. I'm the sprint freestyle event, so I'm only swimming for like a minute or two. I'm really happy and lucky that I'm not in the mile, because that's like 17 minutes of swimming, which just sounds terrible.
Is that your mindset then? You got a minute or two, so just give it everything you got?
Pretty much, yeah. Just my mindset is just kind of put my heart out in the pool and whatever happens, happens.
How do you get better in swimming? You know, people think of just swimming laps and things like that, and you're working at it competitively. What do you focus on to try to continue to, you know, have success and find your way? Obviously, some of the championships are your goal.
Yeah, so I just like to try and push myself every day in and out of the pool. Like, while swimming is a really big part of it, you also have to make sure that you're focusing on the details and then also really hitting the workouts that we do outside of the pool, like lifting and conditioning, because that makes us just all the stronger when we actually hit the water again.
How much of it is, you know, the weight room, and do you run outside of swimming, or is it just swimming conditioning? How does that work?
A lot of it is lifting. I think that's where like a lot of our power comes from, just kind of moving weight, and then once you get in the water you feel really light again. Conditioning, we run sometimes. We do like a really wide variety of things, just trying to get our heart rates up and trying to just kind of move in ways that we might move in the water.
Last year, you became just the third Coyote in league history to win two individual titles. Obviously, not a very big list. What did that mean to you, and did you even know it at the time?
I didn't know it at the time. It is really meaningful, and it kind of just gives lights another fire, because there are more accomplishments to make and way more to do, and it's just really exciting.
You're a part of individual titles. You were a part of relay titles. How much does that just push you constantly? I mean, you're a junior right now, so you did all this last year,
yeah,
and now you're trying to keep pushing forward. How much is that motivating?
It's really motivating. I set a pretty high bar for myself last year, and not only do I want to meet that bar again, I want to be able to surpass it. So,
what is more fun, an individual title or a relay title where other people are relying on you?
I'd say definitely the relays. I think we were one of the first times we'd ever won a relay was last year. And so to finally take one away from Denver, that was really, really meaningful. And then it's also while the individual title is really cool, you get to share that title with everybody else, which is also really, really nice.
You had the chance to compete in the NIC Invitational last year, and for people who don't know, it's kind of the secondary postseason tournament, if you will, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really cool that that has developed to give more student athletes the opportunity to compete beyond their conference seasons. What does that mean to you to be able to compete in something like that and just extend your season?
It's a really unique experience. Instead of just being in the Summit League, we get to compete with like essentially every college that wants to go, and so it opens up the horizons of just people like being able to compete with more people and then also just extend our training season even further.
What excites you about the Summit League Championship? I mean, you guys are searching for a team title, of mm-hmm. course. You're searching for individual titles, things like that, but what's exciting about that coming up?
It's definitely, for me, the atmosphere. Like, dual meets are fun, but it's kind of, it's still serious, but it's not like you're not as dialed in, and the Summit League just takes a lot of preparation and a lot of mental focus, and so it's the culmination of our entire season and all the work you've been putting in, and everyone's really exciting, and it's kind of, there's like a buzz in the air, and it's just like kind of like a playoff game. It's really exciting.
Swimming is unique because swimming and diving, I should say, unique because there is a team score, right? But everybody really is at an individual event unless you're in the relays. How much are you able to watch the team scores and know what's going on versus just kind of focused on what you need to accomplish?
Yeah, it's kind of tough because you want to focus on yourself and make sure that you're putting forth your best effort. But you also, if you're not also trying to cheer on your teammates, they probably won't be able to do the same. And then you just kind of fall apart. And so while you need to look at yourself and try to say, like, how can I improve? You also need to say, how can I also lift up my teammates so that they can be at their best, too?
You were a part of this team this year, which means you were a part of history, the last ever competition in the Dakota Dome pool.
Yeah.
Describe that. I know there's a lot of excitement for the new pool, and we'll talk about that, but describe just being a part of the team that, as far as we know, has competed for the last time in the Dome pool.
It was a really awesome experience. I think as fun as it's been the past few years, it's definitely will be bittersweet to see it go, but also really looking forward to see the new facility. But being that part of that history book is just kind of, it's an honor for sure.
As a swimmer right now, what's the anticipation like for the opening of the new pool attached to the Wellness Center? I mean, it'll have a whole different characteristic than the Dome pool. We know that, but what's the anticipation like when you see the renderings and you see the work being done? What's kind of through your mind right now of the excitement?
It's through the roof. It's such a unique opportunity that we're getting a whole new pool. It's going to be so much more different than the Dome. We're going to actually have like windows and hopefully like a better ventilation system. So that'll be a really good experience. And it also will go from like small group practices to be able to be with the whole team. And I think that'll kind of all level us all up again. And it'll just be even better than we are now.
Well, come on, you're going to miss for a little bit that deep chlorine smell.
A little bit, yeah, definitely.
What do you think the possibilities are for this team this year as you get ready for the Summit League Championships?
I think the possibilities are really high. We have a lot of good freshmen that came in this year, and we've all been really working hard. There are some fifth years, I know, and we are just all really excited and really putting in the work ready.
As you look ahead for things with you, obviously just a junior right now, but what is your major and what do you hope to do eventually someday?
Yeah, I'm a sustainability major with a business minor. I'm not totally sure what I want to do, probably something in the business sector, but I'd probably move to a big city one day and try and find a job.
Like back home in Denver, or have you thought about that much?
Maybe Denver, but I'm really open to just going anywhere.
What do you do when you're not swimming? What are your other hobbies?
I like reading a lot. I've been watching a lot of TV recently, too. Puzzles are really fun as well. So,
interesting. We don't get a lot of people talking about puzzles, but that's interesting. You mentioned reading, so people are going to want to know, what kind of books are you into?
Oh, I don't know. I get a lot of like TikTok recommendations, so I put those on hold at the library and then kind of just go from there.
You know, it used to be that people had to find their own interest and look those up. Now you just get it all off of social media.
Yeah, it's all given to me.
Yeah. Well, as you you know, get ready to get into the Summit League Championships, individual goals, what are you competing in at the Summit League Championships, and what are your goals for those?
So I'll probably be on some relays, but we're not totally sure yet. But I'll probably do the 50, 100, and 200 free. And so my goals in those are just try and – ideally I'd probably try and go best times, but it's kind of a crapshoot on if that actually happens, but – yeah, it's looking what I'm looking forward to.
For those who maybe don't know, how do you qualify beyond the Summit League Championships? Is it all time-based? Is it finishing-based in the Summit League Championships? How does that work?
Yeah, so we have two sessions, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And I think top 16 people make it back, and that's all based on times. And then there's a B heat and an A heat, and the A heat is the scoring heat, so that's kind of the one that you want to really get into, but you have to try and go like as fast as you can in the morning to make it back.
All right, we'll be keeping an eye on how things go at the Summit League Championships in Minneapolis. Emily, thanks for the time, really appreciate it. Good luck next week.
Yeah, thank you.
That is Emily Kahn. She is a swimmer for the University of South Dakota, so we'll keep up to date on how she and her teammates are doing as they continue to get through the championship season. And, of course, you get through the Summit League Championships, your goals are going to even one more postseason event, and so we'll keep an eye on all of that. But my thanks to Emily Kahn for joining the conversation here this week. Jack Cochran and the Kansas City Chiefs fresh off of a Super Bowl going back-to-back. And for Jack, a Super Bowl in year number two. 2 for 2 now in Super Bowls. Jack, think about that for a minute, man. You had this dream as a kid, right? And you've been in the league for 2 years, and you get 2 Super Bowl rings. How about that?
Yeah. No, thanks for having me on. Definitely good to be back. I am as spoiled as it gets is the first thing I'd say. I'm fortunate to be part of such a great organization with great people from the top down, and it's been about as storybook as it could have been so far.
You know, you look at this season a little bit different than last year. This year you got out there a little bit more defensively, and unfortunately some of that was due to injury, but fortunately some of that was due to injury, right? You got a chance to go out there, and I know our fans really noticed some of that. Describe the differences between this year and last year, and maybe being a little bit more involved.
Yeah, obviously that was a big goal for me, was getting a little bit more involved in the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, you never want to see your teammates get hurt. But that was a big part of my role, is to kind of be flexible and be able to just be plugged in wherever they needed me. And ended up coming up a few times. And, you know, the nice thing is when you prepare like you're the starter, it gives you a chance to do all right and help the team in those situations. So definitely something that was an improvement this year, and hope to see continue to grow in the future.
Are you able to play different linebacker positions, and how different are those positions?
Yeah, you know, we're all in the same room, so we're all getting the same notes, and we hear all the coaching points, but that has kind of been my role, is be able to kind of fill in at each of the three spots. So it's been a good, I guess, asset for me, and, you know, I guess continue to try and improve at all three of those and make myself more valuable.
Right after the Super Bowl, the Chiefs announced a contract extension with your defensive coordinator and Steve Spagnuolo. Describe what he's meant to you.
Yeah, he's the man. There's not a bad word I could ever say about Coach Spags. He is as consistent of a leader as anyone I've ever been around. No matter what's going on, things are going great, things are going bad, you're getting the same Spags in every meeting. And, you know, to me, that's what sticks out. And obviously, I think a lot of people know about, you know, schematically how incredible he is and getting us in the right spots and, you know, mixing things up for the offense. But for me, what's been more important than that is just seeing how he approaches things on a daily basis and the way he treats us as players. And we're all very fortunate to have him in the building.
Jack, this year was a lot different. The Chiefs weren't exactly the favorites going into the playoffs. There were some games in which, you know, a lot of people scratched their head on how they lose that game and some of those things going on. There's a lot of noise. How much of that do you as players hear, and how much internal conversation goes on to try to just deflect that and stay with the process?
Yeah. I mean, definitely, you know, you touched on it. There was a lot of adversity this year, but I think the mark of a great team is how you handle that. And I think the thing with us and the way we do things is we already practice really hard and we do things the right way. So I don't think it was necessarily a matter of changing things. We just had to kind of stay the course and know that eventually things were going to start to turn our way. And we went out there and just, you know, start performing better on Sundays. And so I think that's kind of the mark of the character of our organization and the leadership that we have, both on for players and coaches, all the way up to the top. So that's what I would say.
Describe that Super Bowl run, the playoff run for this team. You get into the playoffs, pretty much underdogs in every single week. Everybody's saying that this team's going to be the one to knock off the Chiefs, and your team just keeps finding a way to win games. How would you describe the playoff run?
Yeah, no, kind of going back to your last question, definitely unique this year, and felt like last year we were expected to win every game, and then this year it sounded like everyone thought we were going to lose every game. So it was kind of nice to have that chip and play that villain role a little bit. But really, I think what we do a great job of is just focusing on ourselves. We know that if we play our best ball, whoever comes out there against us is going to have a tough day. But yeah, so we just, you know, tried to stay focused on what we do and try to ignore that noise as much as possible, because we knew we were capable of and knew we were going to have to beat some great teams to get to that point. And all those teams that we played were great, and, you know, we got it done.
You know, you play for the Kansas City Chiefs, and the offense is going to be talked about all the time because of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and some of these guys. The defense, I felt like most of the season wasn't getting enough credit for what it was doing. How would you describe this defensive unit and just how it kind of, you know, came together and held together through all the injuries throughout the year and just kept doing its thing to kind of be the reason this team was in a lot of games?
Yeah. There's so many places I go with that. I mean, the big thing that sticks out about our defense to me, and something Spags talks about a lot, is the word chemistry. And I think that's kind of like a buzzword in sports. Like, everyone talks about, oh, we're family, and oh, we all love each other. But I truly have not been around a group of guys that's more selfless and caring for one another and experienced and playing with one another than this defense that we had this year. So I think something that Coach Reed talks about is you win with good people, and we have incredible people in our building and in our defensive room. So I think that's where it starts.
Describe Super Bowl week in year number two. Obviously, there's still, I would imagine, some awe factor a little bit because it is the Super Bowl, but how different was it for you being back a second year? I'm sure the first year was a shell shock kind of deal for you.
Yeah, it was nice having that one last year, to where everything's just not brand new. Like, you kind of know how the week's going to go, and, you know, the week of practice, and you're ready for all the media stuff that you're going to have to do. So you're just, I guess, a little bit more prepped in that aspect, but definitely still a uniquely incredible experience every time you get the chance to play in one of those games. Las Vegas, I can't say enough about, you know, that city and how accommodating they were for us, and, you know, the hotels and the practice facilities we were using. It was all just surreal.
You go through that game, obviously, and it's a back and forth game, and, you know, mm-hmm. Your team starts making a comeback. What was kind of the feeling on the sideline as things started to click and you knew this team actually had a chance there towards the end?
Yeah, obviously, ups and downs at the start of the game, but one thing with our group is we feel like we're never out of it, and we just gotta get a couple stops and get Pat the ball, and you know, good things can happen. So I don't think there was ever any panic. I think we were just knew that we just had to dial in and execute our stuff and, you know, eliminate some of the errors and came out on the right end. And games like that, you know, it comes down to really small details. And I think we handled those really well, particularly in the second half, and we're able to be a really good football team.
As a player, does it feel like a normal game, or is everything just ratcheted up because you know what you're playing for?
Yeah, there's some differences, you know, leading up to the game as far as just like the warm-up and, you know, the national anthem and all the different songs and kind of pageantry that go with the Super Bowl. But, you know, the nice thing is once that whistle blows and, you know, once you cross the white line, it's the exact same game, you know, that we've all been playing since we were little kids. So a few more cameras, a few more media timeouts and longer commercial breaks, but, you know, it's the same game.
I know before the game, our friend Jay Elson of Midcoast Sports, he posted a photo that I think was sent to him. It was your dad, Dalton Godfrey, Brady Scutt was in the photo, guys that take you back to the University of South Dakota. Describe your relationship, I guess, with those guys and sharing that moment with them a little bit.
Yeah, you know, Brady and Dalton, that meant the world to me. I don't, it's clear to me that I would not be anywhere near where I'm at today had I not had those two in my life. And, you know, Alex Jensen was down there hanging out with us too. And so I guess to kind of give them the opportunity to experience that with me, it just feels like it makes sense to me because I knew that I wouldn't get to experience it had it not been for them. So I was really thankful to have them there and get to experience it with me.
Do you guys all get a certain amount of tickets, or are you allowed to buy certain tickets? How does that work for players in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, we get an allotment that we're kind of divvy out to family and whatnot, and ended up having a couple spots for them. So I gave them a call and said, hey, guys, you want to go to the game? And you know, they made it happen. So, yeah, definitely unreal having them there. We had a good time. After the game, for sure.
You know, shockingly, they weren't like, you know, I'm probably just going to stay home this year and not go.
Not a bad little Sunday, right?
Not a bad way to spend it. Jack, describe the feeling for you, the moment you knew that it was over. Mecole Hardman catches the touchdown from Patrick Mahomes, and obviously it's a Super Bowl victory. What immediately rushes through your head and just kind of the moment for you?
Yeah, well, so it's funny. We were kind of talking about this as guys. It's like, just because of the way the game went and it being an overtime game and the way it ended being so exciting, the first thing was just we were ecstatic, just going crazy. But, you know, and when that confetti starts falling and, you know, you realize kind of the gravity of what you just accomplished, there's kind of like a numb feeling where you're just kind of lost for words is the best way I can put it, and overcome with emotion. It is the coolest feeling in the world, and I don't think I could ever – come up with the words to describe it adequately.
What's I know you're every time a season ends, you're always looking to what's next. You try to enjoy it a little bit, but what's next for you? How does your contract shape up with Kansas City, and what do you hope happens here real soon?
Yeah. I just finished up my second year of my contract, and so the Chiefs have an option to pick up my third year here. So kind of just playing that waiting game. I'd love to be back. You know, this place means a ton to me and would love to be back, but at the same time, I understand it's a business, and so I'll be ready for whatever happens. But you're right. I'm going to try and take a little bit of time off and soak this in and enjoy it and, you know, spend some time with family we haven't seen in a while, and then, you know, I'm going to get that itch again, and I'll be ready to go here, I think, in before too long.
How does the schedule work out? Obviously, you're waiting on that contract decision, but you'll take some time off, and then when do you get back into the real grunt of the workouts and kind of what next year might look like?
Yeah, so the off-season program, OTAs and phase two and all that gets going the later part of April, so I'll try and, you know, let my body rest for a couple weeks and then start to kind of ease back into it, you know, real slowly, and then about a month from when I need to be back in KC, I'll start hitting it really hard and working my butt off and trying to get ready to go. And then, you know, we'll grind through OTAs and all that. And the summer, again, take another week off and then get back on it in the summer, get ready for camp, and it'll be here before you know it.
Jack, last thing I want to touch on here is obviously on Wednesday it was meant to be a celebration and you had the parade, and I know a lot of things were going well, and unfortunately there was tragedy involved with that, with a shooting near Union Station where everything was going on. How close were you and some of your teammates to all of that? Did you guys know at the time what was going on, or how kind of did that work for you?
Yeah, no, there was obviously a lot of confusion. You know, we had heard that there was a shooter, but, you know, we were kind of getting rushed back inside and then getting rushed to the buses. So it was I'm not entirely sure how close we were, to be honest, but I know our security staff did a great job of, you know, getting everyone accounted for and making sure we're all safe. So definitely blessed that, you know, our crew is all good. But, you know, thoughts and prayers going out to the families of those affected. So, yeah, like you mentioned, it was an incredible day up to that point, and going about as smoothly as it could have, and just thanks to kind of have that, you know, happen on a day like that.
Yeah, certainly a scary situation. You hope for the best for all the people involved. Jack, great stuff, man. I really appreciate your time as always, and I know you got a ton of people cheering for you and the success that you have had, and we hope to continue to see you get those opportunities in the NFL. You've always been a great part of the University of South Dakota, and you got a lot of fans, man. So keep grinding, and thanks so much for the time.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks so much, John.
He is Jack Cochran, a linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs, plays a lot on special teams, but of course has made his way out there on the defensive unit as well. But he's 2-for-2, trying to keep that perfect record going. 2 years in the league, 2 Super Bowls for Jack Cochran. Never a bad deal when you could talk about that kind of perfection, right? He's got a better record right now than Patrick Mahomes, but let's don't tell Patrick Mahomes that, right? Let's take a look at what's going on in Coyote Athletics. You got softball at the Panther Invitational in Atlanta, Georgia this weekend. They will play Butler on Friday. They're also playing Georgia State on Friday. Then the softball team will take on Butler for a second time. They will get Belmont on Saturday and then play Belmont again on Sunday. Track and field has the tune-up in Lincoln, Nebraska on Friday. It's the final event before we get ready for the Summit League Championships, which of course are next week. Women's tennis is competing Friday evening in Laramie, Wyoming against the University of Wyoming. On Saturday, women's basketball back at home. They'll take on St. Thomas, while the men's team is on the road at St. Thomas. Women's game tips off at 6 o'clock. The men's game tips off at 7. You can hear both of those games on the Coyote Sports Network, and you can, of course, watch both of those games on the Summit League Network as well. In addition to softball on Sunday, the women's tennis team will play against Idaho in Laramie, Wyoming on Sunday, and then golf season officially gets started Monday and Tuesday. The men's golf team is in St. Augustine, Florida for the World Golf Village Collegiate. In St. Augustine, Florida, that is Monday and Tuesday. And then the swimming and diving championships get underway on Wednesday in Minneapolis. So a lot of things going on. And keep up to date with all the results, all the schedules, all of that stuff at goyotes.com. That's going to do it for us this week. My thanks to Jack Cochran and Emily Kahn for joining the show this week. And until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.